go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Paul went through some things. He had some experiences that he went through. Some good times, some bad times, some hard times. But as he wrote to the folks there at Rome, he said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." So this message is for God's people. There's a lot we could consider, but in the time that we've got, I'd like for us to consider all things. All things. You look back over the year, as I have looked back over the year, especially the last few days. And I thank the Lord for the year. And I thank the Lord for allowing me and my family to get to this point, to be able to sell our house and to get down here and purchase our house finally in the area, and to be able to wake up and come to church and then to go home. And you know, I've appreciated the motels and the drives and all that, and we've made some good memories on those things, but there's something nice about leaving home and going to church and then going back home. Yeah. And being able to do it in the same day, in the same afternoon, in the same hour. But who would have thought that a move would take a year? Certainly, I didn't expect it. You didn't expect it. I didn't want it to go a year. In fact, I was ready to move whenever I said, "Hey, I feel the Lord's leading me down here, and let's go." But Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God." You know, Paul himself planned to go visit Rome when he wrote this letter. But guess what? He visited Rome, but not in the same way that he expected. He went to Rome as a prisoner. And you know, Romans 8:28 is true on the mountaintops. Yes. But it's true in the valleys too. And one thing that we've got to understand is that it doesn't say that all things are good. Understand that. It says that all things work together for good. It also doesn't tell us some things work together for good. But he says all things. All things. So let's think about, first of all, and consider the best things. Oh, we like to think about the best things. They work together for good. God's attributes. The attributes of God. That's something that we don't think enough about and study enough and preach about enough. But in Daniel chapter 6, if you want to go over there with me. Daniel chapter 6. And verse 16, beginning there, it says, "Then the king commanded, And they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You see, the power of God works together for good to them who love God. And we see that in the example here, this historical account of Daniel in the lion's den. Bunch of hungry lions and their mouths were shut. That's the power of God. And we read this account and we say, praise God, thank God for His power. We see God's power and we say, that's good. That worked together for His good. That God's power works together for our good. And it's true. Over in the book of Psalms 32 and verse 8. Psalms 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We see and know of God's wisdom in our lives. Because there's, like the psalmist here, as he wrote and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we know about the leadership of God. We know about the teaching, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God works together for good, God's people. Over in the book of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. He says here in this part of the epistle from which we get our text, he says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God, praise God for his goodness. Do we not thank God for his goodness, knowing that it works together for good as children of God? And we could go on and on looking at the different attributes of God, and we can see how that God's attributes work and fall under this phrase, all things, in Romans 8:28, working together for our good. God's promises. Over in the book of Psalms chapter 37, Psalms chapter 37. In verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Oh, the Bible is full of God's promises. We can look at the Old Testament. We can go into the New Testament. We can read of how that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We see how these promises that the Lord's coming back, promises of heaven. We read of these promises and we understand that these promises work together for the good of God's people. These promises are food for the faith of God's people. Listen, if you went through life without the promises of God, where would you be? What would you hold on to? I'll tell you where you'd be. You'd be like the rest of the world out there, scared to death, chaos, going from one thing to another. But God's people, we can rest on His promises. They work together for the good of His people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and then verse 25. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching." The fellowship of God's people, the assembling of the church together, works together for the good of God's people.
Right.
In a year when there's still, even now, after so long of a time, there's still some churches and denominations out there that aren't meeting.
Yeah.
When I found out I was moving, I signed up for the newspaper. Also signed up for the internet. There, my modem got delayed, so I don't have internet yet. But I did get the newspaper. So, glad of that, I guess. So I was looking at the newspaper, and it's the Brunswick paper. And there in the faith section, I noticed that one particular denomination is still having drive-up services and live services, but no in-person services, seem like. And I thought, man, it's been a year since the initial lockdown. We got vaccines now. We know that the death rate isn't what they said it was going to be. There's some people who would probably like to come to church. Whatever, if it was a group of elders that decided it, or if it was a pastor, they ought to rethink that and get back to church. Because God's people need that. They need that. We need that. I need that. I mean, when the church at Mansfield disbanded, we didn't sit at home and wait. We went to different churches. Because we needed that. We need to be with other saints, assembling together. And of course, it's best. It's so much better to be with your home church.
Amen.
James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In verse 15. Let's start with verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayers of God's people works together for good. If you're sick, you ought to go see a doctor. You ought to go see the specialist. But you also ought to let God's people know so that we can pray for you.
Yeah.
God's people are instructed here, and we're instructed what we need to do. Let me tell you. Because you need the prayer when you're sick, and your doctor needs the prayer. I often think about, as complex as the human body is, and as many, I mean, doctors are human. They can make mistakes. And we have to be praying that our doctors do the right thing, and that God gives them wisdom. But I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people when I was sick. I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people when things are going good, when things are going bad. We need the prayers of God's people. And they work together for good, James chapter 5 tells us. And in John chapter 17, check this out. In John chapter 17... verse 20. He says this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, how we ought to be thankful and realize that Christ's intercession works together for our good.
Right.
And so when you think about this, whatever's going on in your life, you ought to be able to take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord's people.
Yes.
But realize that we have an intercessor, and that is Jesus Christ. And, oh, praise the Lord, our Savior prayed for us here and is praying for us. There's so many things that we can consider. The best things, part of that, all things. And most every kind of preacher, right, wrong, or indifferent, will agree that Romans 8:28 includes the best things. And I've given you a kind of a list. And we could go on and preach for days and days on the good things. And we like to talk about the good things. And Romans 8:28 is a great verse, especially when you're going through some great times. But it's also true when you're going through some bad times. Because lumped up in that, all things that work together for good are also some worse things. Some bad things, some terrible things even. And how much better our lives would be if we would realize that. A year to move. I could have been bent out of shape. I could have been pacing the floor. I could have been an absolute terror to my family. I mean, I probably did get kind of grumpy a couple of times. But I think for the most part, I did pretty good. The thing about it is, I'm human too. So, you know, we get We live in a world of high-speed internet and microwave dinners. We want it now, now, now. God said, no, wait. Wait. I remember Jill called me. I was still in the office. And she said, David, we got sewage backing up in the basement. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. That's not a good thing. But it works together for good, you see. When I came down with coronavirus, that's not a good thing. But it worked together for good. When a doctor says, hey, you've got cancer, that's not good. Nobody wants to hear that they've got cancer. But Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. You see. Getting thrown in a den of lions. I don't want to be there. That's not good. I'd rather be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we see God worked it out for good.
Amen.
And even if Daniel would have got gobbled up by them lions, guess what? God still would have worked it out for good, because guess where Daniel was going?
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
And that's the thing. Sometimes we look at things from a worm's eye viewpoint. You know, what's a worm see? How many inches to a worm would be a mile, right? I mean, you know, how many stories tall is a blade of grass to a worm, right? But to us, an inch is nothing. A blade of grass is nothing. And imagine us thinking about our problems and the things that we're going through, and God says, hold up a second. You see, we go through some big problems, and we go through some terrible problems, but we've got to understand, there's no problem too big for God.
Amen.
There's no sickness that's too complex for God. There's nothing that He can't cure. No problem He can't fix. And indeed, there's not a problem that He doesn't fix. Oh, what about so-and-so died of cancer? Well, did he know the Lord? Guess what? He's cured of cancer. You see. There's some things in this world that ain't good. But God is good.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, He says all things work together for good. In Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1 and verse 21, He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Right.
You see, affliction. Job knew, even before Romans 8:28 had been inspired by Paul, Job knew that all things work together for good. Notice he didn't say, the Lord gave, but the devil took away. He didn't say that. And of course, Job didn't know about the conversation between the devil and the Lord that had happened like we know about it. But if you read through the text there, verse 17, you know, you find out that the Chaldeans were involved. And some others, you know, but he didn't say the Lord gave, but the Chaldeans took away. He didn't say that. You see, he knew. He didn't know how it was all going to work out. And neither do you. And neither did I.
Right. Neither did we in our burden.
Absolutely.
We didn't know.
Absolutely. Brother Justin and I and the rest of us guys trying to load that truck. We were sore. Trying to get that all in there.
We got a little bit in there.
And, but the loading part, that was the tough one because, I mean, that was real tough because we had a couple of naysayers that said, oh, you're not going to fit that all in one truck. We didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Challenge accepted.
So Justin was standing at the edge of the truck, squishing it in. I was praying. What's going to happen if this truck breaks down on the highway? We can't unload that and load it in the truck.
We did lose
a
desk.
Right? No, but we don't know. I mean, when I was laying sick with the coronavirus, I knew a lot of people were praying for me. And I knew that the survival rate was pretty high. But I also didn't know if it was my time to go. Right? Over in the book of Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, the psalmist said, I know this was for my good. I knew that I've been afflicted. Of course, he felt that. He knew. You know when you've been afflicted. And he said, it's good for me. And he didn't say the affliction was good, but he said, it's good for me that it happened. That I might learn thy statutes. Afflictions make way for glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction. Go back and think about what Paul went through. Our light affliction. The troubles he went through and the suffering he went through for the cause of Christ. And then read that again. For our light affliction. And here we are in America and we complain about life when the internet's down. Or when we pull up to the fast food restaurant and they're out of lettuce. Our light afflictions, Paul says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know, remember, when he wrote this, it wasn't split in chapters and verses. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen. We go through life and we have afflictions and troubles and trials. this life ain't all there is. There's heaven waiting for us. If you are here today and you've been born again, heaven is your home. We're just passing through. We're just pilgrims here. And if everything was great here, we wouldn't have much to look forward to in heaven. We'd probably be all content down here and we wouldn't hardly think of it. But man, I'm telling you, the troubles and the trials and the things that happen ought to serve as a reminder that this is all temporary.
Yeah.
It's not going to last. Our Lord went through so much for us. Who are we to think that we should go through life without going through something for Him? I don't mean that we ought to go out and try to pick fights with strangers. You know, some of these fellas on the internet, they go and they start picking fights with people, and then when somebody calls them a name, they say, "Oh, I'm being persecuted." No, I'm not talking about that sort of thing. But I'm talking about real trouble. Real trouble. And we should expect it for being a child of God. And losing friends and that sort of thing. I mean, and even maybe we're going to see some things happening. I mean, if they can ban a Dr. Seuss book, if they can get all offended by Mr. Potato Head, time's coming that they might be coming after the Bible you have in your hand. The church building that we've been blessed with are coming after me. But even if that happens, Romans 8:28 is true.
Amen.
And over in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. All things work together for good.
Right.
You say, even this affliction, this trouble I'm going through, this chastisement? Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, because that whipping is a sign that my daddy loves me. And not only that, that I have a daddy.
Yeah.
You know? When God, as He sometimes does, He sets our worldly comforts on fire, then we run to Him, don't we? We run to Him. When the finances aren't what they ought to be, when the health isn't what we want it to be, when trouble is coming, He's saying to us, come to me. Pay attention to what matters. All things work together for good. Oh, think about it. If God just heaped upon you and me everything that we needed all the time and granted to us our every wish, would we really be closer to God? Probably not. We'd be closer to stuff and things and this world. But the afflictions that we go through draw us so closer to Him than anything else. And there's an element of it, and it's kind of hard to word, but when you go through a valley and you get back up to the mountaintop, you're thankful to be back on the mountaintop. But there's some sweet communion that you had down in the valley that you miss. All things work together for good. There were times in the past year when people said, "Hey, David, maybe God is telling you not to go to Georgia." It's a mistake, though, to think that every time trouble comes, that you're going the wrong way. Understand something. That there are instances of people getting into trouble for doing the wrong things. You think about David committing adultery, Jonah running from the Lord. There are instances of it. But understand, just because you're doing God's will and doing the right things doesn't mean that all your troubles are behind you. Think about Job. Daniel. Paul. Were not these men great men who served the Lord, and yet did they not experience great problems? So yeah, all things work together for good. God said, "David, you need to be in Georgia." I said, "I want to go now." And God said, "Wait a minute. Wait a year." And I'm thankful that God has led me here to this point, 2021. And I'm thankful for Romans 8:28. All things, the good things, the worst things, and everything in between works together for our good. May God always get the glory. I've got a lot more notes, but we don't have a lot more time. So, Brother Barry, would you pray for us?